Hello and welcome. Thank you for listening to a podcast from Topics Norsvin. In our podcast, we discuss various topics related to swine genetics, our view of the industry and market developments. This podcast offers information in a lighthearted way, but covers serious topics. So grab a seat at the table of our Topics Norsvin lounge and enjoy listening.
Hello everyone, and welcome to the world of Topics Norsvin. Thank you for tuning in. Today I'm sitting here with
Eveline Willems, and I'm the Regional Veterinary Manager of Europe.
And my name is Jette Wennekes, and I'm the Lead Breeding Program Management at Topics Norsvin. Breeding for general robustness, or as we Dutchies love to say, to prevent is better than to cure. Because we can all agree, it is better to prevent your animals getting sick, instead of having to deal with the consequences if they do. Today we'll discuss how we incorporate this in our breeding program, here at Topics Norsvin, by breeding for naturally robust animals. We will first discuss breeding for general robustness, and then look into two specific examples, PERS and uterine prolapse. Before we get started, I would like to mention that a lot of this research has been performed by Dr. Janelle Dunkelberger and her team, so we would like to thank her for all of her work.
So how can we increase general robustness?
At Topics Norsvin, we see robustness as more than just being resilient when exposed to different kinds of germs. Robust animals are animals that are resilient to changes in their environment and will stay productive, even when challenges may occur. These challenges can be, for instance, disease or sickness, but also high temperatures or other impacts of their environments. What would a naturally robust animal look like for you, Eveline?
Ideally, we would like to see animals that can cope extremely well with these different kind of challenges and are able to keep the performances to a very high level. Typically, we have strong legs. They maintain their appetite and are not easily stressed out and have a long and healthy life.
If we look at the example for disease, it is for that reason that Topics Norsvin has an approach to enhance overall robustness to disease, with placing emphasis on a few specific diseases of interest, like PERS, using traditional breeding strategies. With the use of genomics, we can select for animals who are more naturally robust without having to challenge them. For this, you use something that you call a reference population. This is a population of which you know both their genotype and their phenotype, in this case, their performance under disease. This reference population can then help us to calculate breeding values for disease robustness, even for animals that are not challenged by disease. Their genome will simply tell us whether they share genes with the animals, of which we do have those phenotypes, and whether those genes result in traits that we are looking for. We will speak more about that in our first example.
And the reason for putting extra efforts on PERS resilience, besides general robustness, is the high impact of this virus on animal welfare and economics of the farmers globally. Besides the severe direct symptoms of the virus, it also suppresses the immune system of the animals and therewith make them more sensitive for other infections. Jette, how do we know that this way of increasing robustness will work under field circumstances?
That's a good question. So a study performed by Janelle Dunkelberger was used to verify this. For this particular trial, the animals in the experiment were challenged with PERS virus. Breeding values for robustness under disease were estimated for boars of the same genetic line within a single stud in the US. These boars were then ranked into the 30 top ranking and the 30 bottom ranking, which we'll call high robustness and low robustness groups from now on. These boars were then used to create progeny. So you create two groups, one group of progeny whose fathers were placed in the high robustness group, and a group of progeny whose fathers were placed in the low robustness group. The progeny were then challenged with the PERS virus to see how they would respond. And we saw some big differences here. For instance, the high robustness group showed greater gain in feed intake, as well as better feed conversion ratios. Besides that, also a lower mortality rate was found. So not only did this group have more animals survive the PERS infection, but they also kept producing and performing better. This is a perfect example of how we can use breeding values to create better pigs, even when we do not have the phenotypes available of those pigs. So Janelle showed here really nicely that we can breed for those better disease-robust animals, and that it shows in the production results as well.
As we mentioned earlier, robustness of pigs is more than just disease robustness. One of the other aspects is this long and productive life. Sows dying before voluntary replacement is something that we do not like to see. One of the causes of sow death loss is a prolapse of the uterus. This uterine prolapse is an important cause of sow mortality in the United States. I suppose there is some genetic background, Jette.
Yes, there is. And although we know that genetics does play a role in uterine prolapse, it is interesting that we mostly see it in the US, but not in countries with the same genetics. However, we still wanted to look into whether we can improve this through genetics.
And how did we do that?
So what Janelle did in the following study is that she wanted to find out what the heritability is of uterine prolapse. So how much of the phenotypic variation we see can be explained through genetics. She used a big data set for this, where purebred females at a commercial multiplication farm in the US were classified as either removed due to uterine prolapse or removed due to other factors. Using this data set, a heritability of 22% was found, indicating that 22% of the phenotypic variation in incidence of uterine prolapse is due to genetics. The remaining 78% is due to environmental factors.
Indeed, there are many management aspects that can lower the incidence of uterus prolapse, and we do support our customers on these management factors as well. But for now, we would like to keep the focus on how we improve this through genetics.
So in this study that Janelle performed, she also checked whether estimated breeding values can be used to breed against uterine prolapse. Results from that analysis show that sows removed due to uterine prolapse had a higher average estimated breeding value compared to sows removed for other reasons, indicating that, again, we can use genomic data to estimate breeding values and to use these to predict susceptibility to uterine prolapse in the field. After these results were found, of course, Topics Norsvin has implemented the selection against uterine prolapse. So to conclude, uterine prolapse is lowly to moderately heritable, and genomic information can be used to predict susceptibility. Breeding against uterine prolapse has been implemented by Topics Norsvin, meaning that selection for a higher TSI will result in selection against uterine prolapse. Topics Norsvin is invested in breeding healthy and robust animals. In this podcast, we demonstrated that with two practical examples: disease resilience and uterine prolapse. In case you are looking for more details on the mentioned studies, there are more detailed podcasts available where Dr. Janelle Dunkelberger speaks on the podcast Feedstuffs in Focus.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information on this topic, please contact your local Topics Norsvin representative. Subscribe to our podcast on your favorite platform. Join us again next time.